This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Kelvin to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Diana and Nick? Can you feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
It's working. Ow!
Excellent, excellent. And this is Lou, the dear sweet bacon emperor, and I'm joined by Diana Kywer, the dear sweet laughing kitty empress, and Nick Hazelton, the dear sweet young punk juvenile delinquent. So what's going on there, yak murderer? Did you have one of your yaks rubbed out like you were Al Capone or something like that? What's going on with that
murder yak?
Actually, I tried to get him taken care of, as we might say, or harvested, but...
Go for a ride.
The Buddhists beat me to it. The Buddhists from Corval came in and bought the yak before we could butcher him, and he's off. We transported him earlier this week on Tuesday. Oh, it was yesterday. And sent him down to California. He's going to live on a Buddhist retreat where... He'll be, I don't want to misjudge the Buddhist religion. I don't know what they'll do with him. Whether they're going to work him or just view him and enjoy his presence. I don't know. But they got to him before I could.
And the Freedom Fiends is covered. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT no government license. For more information, go to bipcat.org. Allows reuse by anyone except for governments. And Nick's former yak is covered by a buddhistcat.org license. It allows reuse by anyone except for...
Budcot.
Except for Nick. So, all right, I got to get a little clarification in here. The way you make it sound, the Buddhists came in there and took your property. They forced you to sell... this yak to them, because you're like, yeah, they swooped in there and they grabbed them up before you could butcher them, and it kind of has like a socialistic economic explanation to it. It's really kind of crazy. So could you please explain comments of how the robber baron Buddhists screwed you out of your yak? Let's hear about the stuff.
Yeah, so for some clarity, it's not my yak. He was never mine. So his owner was my herd partner, Tyler Boggs from Heart to Heart Farms. So it's his bull, and he got mean, so we had to get rid of him. And so we had a plan. We were going to butcher him, but Tyler had a Craigslist ad up, and I guess somebody who knew these Buddhists, and I think she's a Buddhist herself, saw the ad and started a GoFundMe campaign to buy and quote-unquote save this yak.
Interesting.
So they came in and it actually worked out pretty well to have them take him. It was I'm pretty happy that they took him and we didn't have to butcher him. I am a little bit disappointed, but vindictive.
What I want to know is explain exactly how this bull got mean.
So he was bottle fed, which you never do with male animals. You know how they say don't feed the animals in the park because wild animals get too close. They stop fearing humans, and then you do something that they don't like, and then they flip on you. Oh, so he was bottle fed, and yaks, and even cattle bulls can be the same way because of the testosterone. if you get too close, they might view you as competition since they think of you as their herd now, since they've been raised by humans. So if they think of you as competition, they'll try to fight you. And in this case, I don't really know why he viewed us as either a threat or competition. But one
it's all
day
that testosterone, Nick.
Try carrying a bottle.
There you go.
I did not try that. I did not want to get close to him.
Yeah, because if you tried carrying a bottle, then you know that might have helped out.
Maybe. But he's gone now, so I'm happy. I'm happy with the situation. I was a little bit disappointed because I wanted to have that burger, that, you know, have that last final
yak burger
win. Yeah, but I've got the tip of his horn, and I'm gonna consider that my keepsake, and I'm happy that that's all over. And now I have the yaks in the front field, and I got to go out there and be close. I got to pet some of my cows, so I'm very happy.
Would he get angry when you would go out to pet the cows?
Yeah, he would get angry if I even got close to the fence to go out there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, the last time I spoke with you, you were rather bitter, vindictive, and you were sounding very political in the way that you want this bull to be punished. And I was like, I'm gonna vote for somebody to deal with you. You're gonna be fined, and you're gonna be jailed, and you're gonna be executed, and everything. So, and it sounds like. It sounds like the Buddhists and some other do-gooders got together and they had like one of these anti-death penalty protests outside of the prison, meaning your
exactly
yard.
What happened?
Yeah, they're marching around.
You know. The yak prison.
they're marching around with signs that say you can't take it back. You know, making a murderer. So. Do you feel that you've had like a change of heart and that you've grown a little bit as a person for learning mercy when it comes to this bull that you hated with the fire of a thousand suns? Nick? Oh, we lost Nick. We lost Nick. The NSA must have droned him for being like a bad person or something like that. Yeah. But anyway.
The Buddhist droned him.
Yeah, the Buddhist broke into his house and knocked him off the air. Well, actually, he was dropping out a little bit from what I heard. Am I dropping out at all?
At all. No. Okay. You're fine. Yeah. What about me?
Okay. Oh, no, you've been just fine. And your giggles have been completely uninterrupted. So anyway.
I feel like laugh tracking it tonight, so...
Okay, good. So, what all do you have going on in your world these days, Diana? You just recently purchased some new stuff.
I did.
Yeah, you're talking about before we started the show.
Oh. Oh, God. What was I talking about? I forget.
Camping gear?
Oh, yeah, for Pork Fest. Yeah, because In our separation settlement, I lost the camping gear, which I was fine with that. I was completely fine with that because I didn't really like it anyway. So I got myself a nice, nifty, new two-person tent.
Oh, what'd you get?
It's an REI brand tent. So, yeah. But anyway, I considered it an investment because I will be using it, obviously, at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival in August. So
tickets are on sale now, MPLF. Yeah.
Fiend phone.
This is Furries, the Fiend Phone, Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency System or Service. This is you 30 seconds ago. Listen, this is you on LRN on my chrome robot turd. Okay, now that we got rid of the dropout. Now that the kids have gone to sleep, the adults can really talk. What's up, guys?
No pun intended. What do you drop out?
What are you? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? Are you wearing a Bipcot t-shirt?
I'm still wearing my Bipcot t-shirt that I managed to not spill wine on when I knocked my cup over when I was cleaning my kitchen earlier and got wine
knocked
everywhere.
Your cup over?
My
knocked
cup.
A cup over?
Okay, so I was drinking wine out of a mug. Okay, judge me. Go ahead. I don't care.
I will.
I drink it out of the box.
You fancy. I drink it out of the bag of wine. You ever get a bag of wine? They sell them.
I get boxed wine, and it's actually a bag in a box.
I know. But you can, if you don't want to, you can pay less, and you don't have to pay for the box. That's what I do. Yeah. Did you know that Mad Dog 2020, the MD, it doesn't stand for Michael Dean. It actually stands for Mogan David. That comes from my hometown, Westfield, New York. It's actually like the scum that floats to the top of the Mogan David vats, and they won't put their name on it, so they just call it MD 2020 and fortify it and sell it to bums.
And it got nicknamed Mad Dog.
It got Nick. We should call Nick Mad Yak.
Mad Yak.
M-Y. All right. So what's happening, Dinah?
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about the nifty new camping gear that I got for Pork Fest and the Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival. So, yeah. Nice.
MPLFest.org.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So,
yeah, we didn't make that ad, Lou. I've been asking you for weeks. I'm offering you free ad time on a syndicated radio show, and you're like, I'm busy.
Dang nabbit. I completely spaced over the past couple days. I have to fill out my theft, I think tomorrow or Friday, and then I'll get on it.
You didn't do your taxes yet?
No, I haven't filled out my theft yet. I mean, the fact that I'm going to do it tomorrow shows that I'm like way ahead of my usual schedule.
Wow.
Most of the time, it's like 10 p.m., 11 p.m. It's like, well, man, I guess I better get on. Get on these thefts now.
For the first time in several years, I'm actually getting taxes returned to me that were stolen. So tax money, that is. Yeah.
Me too. Because
it's long gone.
I spent $20,000. I spent 20 grand on medical expenses last year.
Oh yeah, that helps out.
Ugh.
At least getting some of what was stolen, you know, back. Hashtag taxation is theft.
Yeah, the IRS has been enforcing the Fugitive Slave Act of 1913 since, guess when? 1913.
Yep.
So anyway, so what kind of tent did you get, Diana? Is it a dome tent or what?
Yeah, it's a dome tent, and it should be really simple for me to put up by myself. I'm planning on being at Rogers Campground on Saturday night, and shout out to Nicole and Joe for being willing to share their site with me. Obviously, I'm going to compensate them for that, but I'm excited. I think we'll be in the same place we were at last year. Which it was a pretty good place. So, yeah. Hopefully it won't rain too much. I'm definitely anticipating rain because it's rained. This will be my third year, and the 2 years prior have both been rainy. So.
And we will be right back after this trip to the market.
Yay, worms. We like the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This is the Freedom Farm.
Freedom Farm.
This is Lou, Diana, and Nick, and we are back. And what in the heck are we going to talk about this section? We didn't plan anything. We didn't discuss anything during the break.
Yeah, we didn't.
Nick was out running around trying to get back into the system. His internet was having trouble because the Yaks were streaming Animal Planet reruns on the internet.
Okay, so this article that you sent, Nick, just right before the show, the Sacramento Bee article for UC Davis. Yeah, they spent thousands to scrub pepper spray references from internet. And
Let's get to the backstory on this. UC Davis is where the guy Lieutenant Pike who became well known for having his battle gear and going through and zapping college students with pepper spray. It's not just like the regular pepper spray that you buy at Walmart or the sporting goods store. He's got like the supersized industrial strength can.
Yeah.
You know, Yeah, and it's huge. I mean, it's got this orange cloud that comes out, you know, yeah. So like Agent Orange or something like that. But anyway, and there's all these students that are sitting down.
And they're just sitting. They're just sitting there, yeah. Like, peacefully. And he's going, he's, like, walking through and just, like it's nothing, just spraying them. Like, he's, like, I don't know, like, spraying them with DEET or something to keep mosquitoes off of them. I mean, it's just so bizarre. And just horrifying, actually.
Now I'm not gonna say that they're entirely peaceful because they are blocking the sidewalk. However, this is unknown property, so it's not like anybody has more rights to it than another.
Right.
But I think these were part of the Occupy Wall Street demonstrations and protests, mm-hmm. and sit-ins and all this other stuff.
Right. This was in 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, this is Lieutenant Pike, and he's the guy that went through and zapped all these kids. Oh, and by the way, these groups here are pretty much the same folks that are part of the Fight for 15. You know, the ones that are looking for the raise in minimum wage and everything else.
The ones
that are extremely low skilled but want to be highly paid, the ones that put the ones that put derp in underpaid. So anyway, all right, Diana.
I really liked Nick. Nick's laugh though just cracked me up though.
Well, actually, that's not my joke. That's Andrew. He's a fan of the show. So I bip-cotted that from him earlier today.
Okay.
So, and he's probably listening. If he's not listening right now, he'll hear this in the morning. So
yeah.
Anyway. But anyway, go ahead with your story, Diana.
What story?
Well, you were going to explain what happened with the school.
Yeah. So anyway, So they contracted with consultants for at least $175,000 to scrub the internet of negative online postings following the November 2011 pepper spraying of students and to improve the reputations of both the university and Chancellor Linda P. B. Katehi. What? Newly released documents show. And it's just
if I may interrupt.
Of course,
there's nothing that protects a reputation better than putting information down the memory hole so that it disappears forever. All right, continue.
Right. So it's basically saying that the payments were made as the university was trying to boost its image online, and were among several contracts issued following the pepper spray incident. And it's just like, I mean, they talk about venomous rhetoric about UC Davis and the chancellor. You know, it's like, okay, so we might not entirely agree with what these guys were protesting, but the fact that, you know, I mean, and you're right. I mean, they're sitting on the sidewalk. They're blocking the sidewalk. But from what I can tell, they're just sitting there. They're not being, you know, aggressive or violent in any way, shape, or form. And this cop is just kind of, I don't know, it's just casually spraying them with pepper spray. And you know, pepper spray can cause a lot of damage. I mean, especially if it gets in your eyes. And it's very, very painful. I mean, it's just, ugh.
It's a chemical weapon is what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, that the fact that they're trying to hide this, I mean, all it's going to do is just draw more attention to it. So, yeah. You know.
Now, does the chancellor, when the chancellor says venomous, or when the school says venomous, do they really mean truthful?
Of course not.
Because it's not like this is something in one of the tabloids that you see at the supermarket.
Oh wait, no, venomous does in this instance mean truthful. Yes.
Okay. All right. but this isn't like the supermarket tabloids where you see that Elvis has come back, the aliens brought him down here, and he did.
Hey there, this is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I've been rising to power in the Liberty Movement since I was 14 years old, when I first found the Freedom Fiends on my TuneIn app. I quickly became a fan, and a little over a year later, I called into Michael Dean After Dark on my crappy home phone. Michael quickly realized my brilliance, but was disappointed by my audio quality. So he picked me up as a mentee, gave me a microphone, helped me start my own podcast, and threw me on the radio show. Now I'm 17. I'm assembling a yak army, building a cult following of yaketeers, and we're planning our march to Fiendfest Somalia to take over the geographic region between the Connecticut River and the Salmon Falls River to make it a libertarian paradise free of faceless boards of authority. Free Freedom Fiends buttons will be given to anybody who swears allegiance to the dear sweet yak emperor and aids our cause. This wouldn't be possible without the help of Nima Vidotti and especially Michael Dean. The Freedom Fiends have made me as dear and sweet as I am today. Worms.
And we're back. This is the Freedom Fiends. We have Lou.
It's not 10 seconds yet. Now you can say it.
And Nick. And me, the Laughing Kitty.
Yay.
Yay, meow. Yeah, we were just like discussing during the break some of the meme that Lou posted on his Facebook, and it's a... some protesters holding up signs, one of which says, "I'm a fast food worker and I'm on strike," and hashtag fight for 15. And loose, and the meme says, "Putting the derp in underpaid."
Mm-hmm. So, yes, thank you for that visual humor on the radio. Michael yelled at me before the show even started for doing that. But anyway.
Oh.
So, all right.
I am my own woman, okay?
Yes, you are. And speaking of derp, let's get back to this UC Davis article, the pepper spray and the chancellor.
Right. Yeah. So, it's just so they're basically, I mean, just, you know, trying to improve their reputation, you know, for all the let's see, what does it say about you know, they've actually you know, using websites like reputation.com, not the one that was advertised during the break, but you know, just you know, trying not so much necessarily trying to hide what happened, I think, but just trying to gloss over it in some way, shape, or form, and trying to put the focus more on, you know, the excellent education that you can receive from UC Davis, et cetera, et cetera. And never mind, you know, what happened when these like peaceful protesters were, you know, sitting on a sidewalk and just, you know, systematically being pepper sprayed by you know, a clown in uniform, and you know, costume. It's just that's right, costume.
Well, I want to read something here. This is from the UC Davis woman or spokeswoman Dana Topousis, I think. So I just butchered her name, but I just pepper sprayed her name like that cop to those students. But listen to the new speak in here. Mm-hmm. "We have worked to ensure that the reputation of the university, which the chancellor leads, is fairly portrayed," said UC Davis spokeswoman.
We wanted to promote
and advance the important teaching, research, and public service done by our students, faculty, and staff, which is the core mission of our university. Never mind that, you know, this stuff happened. Never mind... Yeah, we just want to get past that. You know, we're going to pretend like that never happened, and we just want to focus on, you know, warm and fuzzy and feels and hearts and flowers and blah, all that other nonsense. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, the money came from the communications department budget. Where is it? Okay. "Others sought to improve the school's use of social media and to devise a new plan for the UC Davis Strategic Communications Office, which has seen its budget rise." The Newspeak office. Damage control office. "Strategic Communications is Newspeak for Damage Control, which has seen its budget rise substantially since Katehi took the chancellor's post in 2009. Figures released by UC Davis show the Strategic Communications budget, damage control, increased from $2.93 million in 2009 to $5.47 million in 2015. Wow, that must be an awful lot of damage to control. So
yeah, let's see. I'm reading too. They're talking about like a proposal, I guess, to, you know, improve the reputation, let's see. It's talking about the proposal also suggested using Google Hangouts to co-host programs with Aggie TV and KDVS, the university student-run television and radio stations. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, they're doing, I mean, they're trying to manage, I guess, the reputation and trying to hide the best they can in anything that would, you know, I guess further damage it. I don't know. I really don't know how they could fix that. You know, I mean, to me, there's just like, I mean, the information is out there, you know, and I mean, I really don't know how much they would be able to do, you know, technologically speaking, to I guess, you know, cause that to when anybody does a search where they wouldn't be able to find something on it, you know?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I mean, you could try and do that with the internet. I believe Beyonce had a couple of her lackeys trying to take an unflattering picture off the internet, mm-hmm. and that caused it to explode and wind up everywhere.
Yeah.
I think mm-hmm. when Obama took that photo op picture of him holding the shotgun out shooting Trap or Skeet, or actually on a green screen probably.
I haven't seen that one. Was he wearing his mom jeans and his white New Balance sneakers?
Well, the thing about that was that his communications people or propaganda bureau released it and said, "Now please don't Photoshop this." And the last thing that you want to tell the internet is to not do something,
right?
Because I personally did a posting on the Fiend blog of it, and that got the most shares of any post that I ever did, you know.
Yeah.
It was called "Thou Shalt Not Photoshop," followed up the next day but with "He's furious, but is he fast and furious?" So trying to clean stuff off the internet. What was it Joe Rogan said? It's like trying to take pee out of a pool with a spoon.
Yeah.
But not only do you have to take out the incident, you have to take out the fallout of the incident too. As a matter of fact, the cop, Lieutenant John Pike, mm-hmm. that sprayed these students, he wound up eventually getting fired, and he sued the school and was awarded $38,000 for psychiatric trauma from this event.
No.
Yeah, so this psychotic clown that goes pepper spraying people without giving a second thought gets psychiatric trauma, and for some reason he's entitled to some money.
Yeah. So apparently he had received more than 10,000 text messages personally, I guess, 17,000 emails that included threats and harassment. So that must have contributed.
Cop.
Yeah, the cop did. So that must have contributed to his psychological trauma or whatever. Yeah. Didn't occur to him that maybe he might deserve that for what he did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is Nick there? I heard a little whimper in the background.
I heard. Mm-hmm. He's like, mm-hmm, yeah. Girl. That's right, girl.
I heard a baby yak growl.
I'm here and I'm paying attention.
Okay, but you're not saying anything. I'm on the radio.
Use my big boy voice. That's right. So, I skimmed through that article. It's super long, actually, and I was surprised. I'm surprised by how much money they spent. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy how and why. But I can understand, you know, where somebody would come from. But at the same time, I like the idea of letting the market decide. You know, if these people all really do deserve to have their name tarnished, right? You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Pepper spraying people, which is that's assault, right? That is mm-hmm. That should be a crime, no matter mm-hmm. who does it. Just because he has a shiny badge and a blue uniform or costume. Doesn't mean that
costume.
That's right. Doesn't mean that he should be able to get away with it and then turn around and sue. Like, that's terrible. Like, how does that work? That's Justice System USA.
I'm perfectly fine with him suing the school. The school deserves to be sued for whatever. I mean,
it's a legal system, not a justice system.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm sure the school deserves to be sued, but not by him.
No, I mean, that's true. But, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, take as many of the tax dollars that were already stolen and, I don't know, maybe not give it to him. No. Yeah, you're right. He doesn't deserve that. Absolutely.
Okay, so give me your thoughts on this. If the chancellor had come out after this event, and rather than circling the wagons and saying, "We stand behind this officer," or "We have conducted an internal investigation," you know, meaning the rest of the Foxes have investigated the other foxes' wrongdoing in the hen house.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think? Had they not done that, had the cop been fired immediately or put on the administrative unpaid leave or whatever it is before they fire him, had the cop been dealt with immediately and the chancellor come out and said, you know what, this is completely inappropriate, right, we're not going to stand for it, mm-hmm, you know, my bad, whatever. Yeah. do you think this stuff would have gone away?
It probably wouldn't have gotten as much traction as it did. I mean, if she had stood up and taken responsibility for what happened, I mean, I think that would have gone a long way. I mean, to earning some respect, you know, from people, you know, that had criticized the incident and everything. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that the more that they try to hide it, the more it's just going to be out there. And I props to the Sacramento Bee for making sure that this gets, you know, out there and reported what they're trying to do. So, you know, I just don't think that, no matter what, I don't think that they're going to be able to hide it. Absolutely. I mean, one thing I did read and hear was that, you know, when they do, when there's a Google search for UC Davis pepper spray, you get 100,000 results. Whereas if you search for her name, Katehi, and pepper spray, it pulls up about 10,000. So that's 10,000 is still a heck of a lot. And it sounds to me like that's really the best that they've been able to do so far. So their attempts at reputation management.
All right. So if it's down to at best 10,000 results on a search, apparently they just haven't spent enough money yet. So it's kind of like the Keynesian reputation rebuilder. Well, right. You just have to spend enough money.
Yeah.
You have to spend enough money to give everybody amnesia.
And whose money is it that they're spending?
Don't worry about it. It's just like magical tax money that falls from the sky.
Yeah.
And it never runs out because, I mean, if the tax cattle are completely milked and the teat goes dry, then you could just like print more.
Print more, so, yeah.
It's no problem. Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's like no big deal. God. So, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, and this always rings true, we saw this with the Martha Stewart case. I think the big thing that she got in trouble for, I mean, she didn't really get in trouble for her insider trading. Well, she didn't get in trouble for that at all because those charges were actually dismissed. But ultimately, I think she was prosecuted and charged for being a B-word. and convicted, too. All right, we'll be back. More Freedom Fiends. On the good side of this.
Meow.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Diana, are you impersonating Nick?
Oh, for God's sake. No, it was from Sling Blade, Billy Bob Thornton. I guess okay. My voice is a little too high for that, but.
Well, you were kind of like, I don't know, Nick's been making some of those sounds tonight, so it did sound like you were impersonating him a little bit. He's been making his little baby yak grunts. Yeah, like.
So what do baby yaks sound like? Like what you were doing?
I guess. Yaks grunt. Do they make a kind of sound?
Okay.
I've never heard a baby make sound. They don't talk much.
They don't talk much.
All right, here's what I want you to do, Nick. When we go when we're in the break between the first and second hour, why don't you go out to the yard, wake up a baby yak, take your little recording device out there, and get some sound and bring it back and play for us.
That sounds like a really good way to get gored.
Oh no.
Well, didn't you send the gory yak out to live with the Buddhists?
Yeah, but you don't touch calves if they're near their mother, especially at night.
Do the mothers have horns too?
Yeah, they all do.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Shows how much I know about yaks.
Yeah, they all have horns. If it's a yak without a horn, it means they're either crossed with cattle or they were cut off.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get gored, Nick. That is probably a bad idea. We don't want that.
No.
So anyway,
I mean, I like you. I don't know about anybody else, but I like you, and I really don't want you to be injured.
At least not until after you get to Pork Fest.
And then maybe his juvenile delinquency will come out a little bit more or something.
Yeah. Well, Michael and I are going to auction him off at Pork Fest.
Oh, no.
Or maybe we'll sell him into servitude at the bouncy tent.
Oh,
no. There's a bouncy tent. How did I miss that before?
That's a good question, Diana. That is a very good question. But anyway, wrapping up with the UC Davis story. The UC Davis students. By the way, this article is from yesterday. It's from April 13th of 2016. The UC Davis students have been protesting outside of the chancellor's office, mm-hmm. and
since March 11th.
Yeah, and the mm-hmm. UC Davis provost Ralph J. Hexter met with student protesters last week who are occupying the reception area outside Chancellor Linda P.B. Katehi's office on the fifth floor of Merak Hall, but failed to convince them to leave. They're like, nope. Yeah. This protest is bip-cotted. Mm-hmm. So it shows a bunch of basically dirty hippies sitting around occupying an entryway.
They don't really look that dirty to me.
Well, not filthy, but I'm sure they're probably dirty hippies. But anywho, so that's that. And quite frankly, you know, like we were talking about a little while ago, I think had the school dealt with it a little bit better, had they been a little bit more accepting of responsibility, I don't think that this would have lasted anywhere near as long or as heavily as it did. But
yeah.
One thing I'm going to throw out there, I have absolutely no evidence to back this up. This is nothing but a suspicion of mine. I would probably be willing to bet that chancellor that's catching the heat is the one that told the campus police to go out there and deal with those kids. And if you have to rough them up to get them in line, go right ahead. And that's just my suspicion. I have no evidence for it, but that's generally how these things play out.
Yeah, I don't know. If they're already trying to do, you know, damage control, I don't know. I tend to think that they're not gonna go that route again, necessarily. But then again, it's like, how are they going to get rid of them?
Well, if people learn lessons, nobody would be calling for socialism. And we're going to talk about socialism in the second hour. Yeah. Worms.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself. A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your house is your property.
Oh my God, we're back. This is hour two of the Freedom Fiends, and we are broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except what? Governments.
Yak murderers.
Yak murderers and governments. We don't need no stinking governments. Learn more at bipcot.org.
And this is Lou, and you just heard the voice of Diana Kyler, the laughing kitty. And yeah, we're joined by young punk juvenile delinquent and yak murderer Nick Hazelton. Actually, Nick did not murder the yak. He sold it into slavery to some Buddhists. So, aww, way to go, slave trader.
They're probably going to treat that yak as like a pet, I would imagine.
They will. Sure.
They'll probably
It's a much softer slavery than what I have been doing.
Well, actually, Buddhists, I believe, are vegetarians with the exception of fish. So, they don't eat red meat or chicken. So, at least that's my understanding.
I don't think they eat fish either.
The Japanese Buddhists don't. I don't know about Tibetans.
Yeah, I don't think Tibetans either, because I had a boss one time that was a Tibetan Buddhist, and he said they didn't eat anything with a consciousness. And I argued with him because I said that, well, you know, what about plants? Like, we don't know if plants don't have some sort of consciousness. And he just got mad at me.
Well, haven't you ever dropped acid and heard a plant scream while you're eating it? My God.
Can't say that I have. I don't. When I would do that, didn't really eat much. So.
So anyway,
I used to be really skinny.
Fiend phone.
Nick, use your big boy voice. You're on radio. Speak up.
Am I not talking loud enough?
Yeah. There you go. All right.
Sounds loud to me.
Bye.
That is the furries, the interruption system, unnecessary interruption.
This is a teaching hospice.
Yeah. and every time Michael comes in here to interrupt, he has to disconnect his life support because he only has like so much tubes that he can run at his house at one time. So, darn it, Nick, you're going to kill Michael if you don't talk properly.
Yeah, Nick. It's all on you. His life depends on you talking properly.
Yeah. So
I'll speak up.
All right. So darn you millennials trying to kill Michael. And speaking of millennials like socialism until they get jobs.
Yeah.
And this article comes to us from the Washington Post. And this is in what column is this? Oh yeah, the water is wet column. So anyway.
Well, and it was what I like is that it was Emily Eakins she's
Kat Eakins.
A research fellow and director of polling at the Cato Institute.
Neat.
Yeah. So,
which is a Beltway libertarian organization. They love government. They just love it differently.
Yeah, that's right.
Continue.
Yeah, so one of the things I thought was really interesting about this article, and I mean, it basically, like Lou said, I mean, it essentially says that millennials love socialism until they get jobs, and it talks a little bit about first of all, it says that what does socialism actually mean to millennials, and they think Scandinavia. You know, they think about, you know, wow, they've got it made over there, you know, because they've got the, you know, the, probably like Denmark, for instance, you know, it actually outranks the United States on the number of economic freedom measures in terms of much less business regulation and lower corporate tax rates. But they also, their you know, income tax rate is still extremely high. But then it also
by extremely high, you mean completely unreasonable, like as in around 60% is their top rate.
Which is what, like about, well, 60% is their top rate. But then, you know, there's been a lot of things that I've read about the taxes in the U.S. And essentially, if you take all taxes, if you take, you know, income tax and you take sales taxes and property taxes, it ends up being what, between 70 and 80% of your income?
Yes. The average American, when you factor in all the taxes, tariffs, permits, fees, property taxes, excises, other forms of extortion, the average American, the person in the middle class, the middle income folks, they surrender between 50 and 75% of their income to the tax man in one form or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so. I'd heard it was a little bit higher, but at any rate, it's still, you know, slavery at any percentage is still slavery.
Yeah, and the U.S. corporate tax is the highest or in the top two highest in the world. Mm-hmm. So Denmark, this alleged socialist paradise, and it's not actually socialist because they do have private ownership of the means of production. Mm-hmm. Most of their economy is privately owned. They just have a very highly taxed parasitic welfare state.
Yeah.
So not really socialism, but anyway.
Right. Okay.
And a lower corporate tax in here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, everybody has a lower corporate tax rate, essentially, than we do. So what I think was interesting is where it says, as they reach the threshold of earning $40,000 to $60,000 a year, the majority of millennials come to oppose income redistribution, where, you know, prior they had been for income redistribution, which kind of goes along the same lines as that other article that you sent us about how employment status affects morals and money.
And before you go on too much further, I want to do a little correction and a little spell it out there. When you talk about when these people start reaching the 40,000 to 60,000 income range, what that really means is they support redistribution until it's their income that's going to be
right. Exactly.
So we have to spell it out. They're all for the big bountiful feast until they have to provide dinner for everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they want to bring the napkins and the paper plates. They don't want to buy the turkey and the stuffing and cook the meal.
Yeah. Well, and this is what this is another thing I found interesting about this article. It talks about how millennials, you know, previously had mentioned, you know, when they start to make between, you know, 40 and 60,000, they start to, you know, not like redistribution so much because it's their money that's being redistributed. And then another part of the article says that millennials wouldn't be the first generation to flip-flop. And so apparently in the 1980s, about the same percentage of baby boomers also supported bigger government as did the Generation Xers in the 1990s. But both generations become more skeptical of government over time and by about the same magnitude. So today, only 25% of boomers and 37% of Gen Xers continue to favor large government.
Okay, so what you're saying is after they experience government and after government says, here, have some of us, yeah. They lose their faith in government and they want less of it. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and that's pretty hopeful to me, actually. To hear that. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I thought, you know, besides, you know, our little, you know, kind of group of voluntarists and, you know, anarcho-capitalists that, you know, everybody favored more and bigger government, essentially. So, you know.
So, yeah, something that's really wild about it is when you're looking at all this growth of government and it's not just here. It's worldwide where the growth of government, particularly in Eastern Europe during the days of the Soviet Union, what you see is just massive starvation and failure. And it didn't just fail for no reason whatsoever. It didn't fail because the wrong people were in charge. And it didn't fail because somebody forgot to carry the two when they were figuring out the central plan of how to distribute all these resources equitably. It failed because that was the only possible outcome.
Yeah.
You know, when you start looking at the mechanics of an economy, it's not something that can be centrally planned and controlled.
Right.
And these people that are demanding great leaders to control, command and control the economy and bring it back. You know, well, I'm sorry, Republicans, but you're just going to have to knock it off with all that socialism nonsense. and the Republicans are just as bad. You know what? I have more respect for the Democrats than the Republicans now, because the Democrats aren't denying being socialist anymore.
Yeah.
They're being honest about right. it. They're willing to admit to it. Mm-hmm. Unlike the UC Chancellor, yeah. UC Davis Chancellor.
Yeah, and most Republicans, you know, that claim that they don't favor bigger government, but they do favor bigger government as long as it's doing what they want it to do.
Right, right. Then they want the Soviet Union. Then they want North Korea.
Right.
Matter of fact, North Korea is the American conservative paradise. Strong border patrol, lots of love for the police and military, no Mexicans, no Muslims. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, that would make America great again, I guess.
So anyway, so Diana, go ahead back to the article and I'll furries next time you say something that needs to be translated from newspeak into real speak.
All right, well, so then, and this is interesting too, it says millennials like free markets. This is actually the last paragraph of the article. It says they like free markets and most already accept that free markets have done more to lift the world out of poverty than any other system. Instead, what this generation has to decide is whether higher education and healthcare innovation, access and high quality can be best achieved through opening these sectors to more free market reforms or through increased government control. This is a debate we should be glad to have. And that's kind of the ending of the article. But yeah, so it says they like free markets.
Yeah,
I think they like the market, idea of it.
What free markets are they talking about?
Huh?
What free markets are they talking about? I saw a conversation. I believe it was yesterday. What was it? Oh yeah, it was talking about tariffs and trade policies and stuff like this. And somebody on FaceBeast said, "This isn't an exact quote. It's to the effect of." Gosh, what was it? Oh, yeah. Should we have our free trade policies dictate that we only engage in trade with other countries that have free trade policies that mirror ours? And I'm like, do you even English? My God. And if they think that the U.S. has free trade, first of all, if you think that a government policy leads to free trade, you're a lunatic. But if you think that the U.S. currently has it, that's like finding somebody in an orange jumpsuit with shackles and a bag over their head and saying, look how free that person is.
Right.
And that's describing the economy. The economy has an orange jumpsuit and a bag over its head. And we'll be right back. More Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
And we're back. Nick and I are on here. I don't know where Lou is. But Nick, you had some thoughts though about the whole.
I do.
Put your thoughts on the table, Nick. I want to see them.
So it just reminds me of I was talking to one of my old teachers. He was my social studies teacher, and I was complaining about, we sometimes have back and forth arguments about, you know, whatever it is, because we just like to argue with each other, and it's fun, and it's you know, it's what's the opposite of mean spirited, good spirited.
And then so we just have these kind of conversations.
And one of the things we were talking about is he was kind of nagging on me for not going to college and telling me you missed out on some things. And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't think I really want to go to a place where I can't express my opinions, because these babies will whine about it and go to their safe places, and then
they're calling the wambulance,
and then have me expelled for hate speech. And
wait, Nick, I have to clarify. Are you talking about the whiny little sissies at college, or are you talking about the flag waving patriots whenever somebody does something with their flag?
What's the difference?
Not much. usually about 30 to 40 years in age.
Yeah, there's that.
There you go. And so that was one of his points. Is like, oh, Nick, it doesn't matter. You know, and I was complaining about, you know, what these people are doing. You know, these colleges are these breeding grounds for terrible ideologies. And he said, oh, no, these, they'll give it up. They'll become good tax-paying Republicans when they get their first.
Oh, that's even worse.
That's right.
My God.
But what I just thought about this earlier is that, you know, these kids aren't going to get jobs. their degrees aren't going to mean anything. They're probably not going to be able to make $40,000 a year. So they aren't going to turn into these good tax-paying Republicans. They're still going to be whining, and they're going to be too poor to pay the taxes, and they're going to be taking all the money from the poor whiny Republicans.
Yeah, well, and you never know. I mean, they might drop the transgender bitterness degree and switch over to like electrical engineering major or something like that. But
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, and what you said is pretty accurate, I would say. I mean, not that many people these days get degrees and actually do anything with them. I mean, you know, I will use myself as an example. I have a degree in sociology, and I don't sociologize anything. Well, I mean, I do it.
You have a degree in sociology?
Yeah. And, you know, and I mean, I enjoyed learning about it and everything, but in my day-to-day work, I don't really apply it, you know, in any way, shape, or form. I do it when I analyze behaviors of groups and that type of thing, but, you know,
Is that where you learned economics?
You know, we did study some economics. We not really, you know, real economics, but did have a class on
envy, jealousy.
Yeah, like Marx. Definitely studied
anger,
some Marx.
Hatred. And,
yeah, envy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, anyway,
you know what? If you take away envy, jealousy, resentment, and hatred from the arguments for socialism, you'll be left with nothing but punctuation marks.
I know. I saw that when you posted that on Facebook.
And they will all be exclamation points, multiple exclamation points, right? One right after the other.
Yeah, because of the feels, you know, that's what they've got going for them.
Yeah, so. My feels.
The feels.
No, seriously, I mean, if you look at the arguments for that socialists make, or people that are advocating the redistribution of wealth, it's constantly of, you know, well, how did the inventor of that particular item that has enriched humanity get to be so wealthy? There's no way that he did anything to deserve that.
Right.
You know, really? You know, give money to that teacher that teaches interpretive dance and like anger dance at the community dance. College. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so I know when you're talking about socialists, you're talking about socialists on both the left and the right, because yes, even socialists on the right believe in redistribution. They just like redistribution where they want it to be redistributed.
Yeah.
I can't say that word properly.
Good. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing this Facebook friend of mine posting an article about, I think, military pensions being cut. Or police pensions, mm-hmm. that there's going to be like a 2 or 3% reduction in funds going towards it. And they're like, you know, oh, this is horrible. I said, yeah, those government employees are just sucking up all the money, all those government retirees.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you got me. And we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
I have a quote here. And this is a comment in response to the article about the millennials like socialism until they have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. This is from Mike. I make $70,000 a year and am for Bernie Democratic Socialism. I've used the term organic democracy before. Using the word socialism was a bad call, I feel. It's like a flock of birds or a school of fish. There is both individuals and a collective. With transparency and the right tools, there doesn't need to be a controlling power. We'll get there.
What? Yeah, so I was thinking, what?
So here we are back to the government should have restrictions providing for free trade policies and blah blah blah, and orange jumpsuit is freedom. So
yeah.
So I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but it is funny with the people there, like, oh yeah, we love socialism. What do you mean we have to pay for it? And I put
it doesn't just magically fall from the sky. I mean,
right. Well, and it's like the people that thought that other people were going to be paying for their Obamacare, and then they found out that they were the other people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, I thought this was great when it was supposed to be free, and now that it's free, I can't afford it. But there's another article that we have here, and this is from phys.org, physics, I think. Yeah. I'm not really sure, but anyway, some sort of sciencey type thing. employment status affects our morals around money, and I just in the opening couple paragraphs here, there's some really good stuff, and we're only going to get to cover a little bit of that, but we'll put this article in the show notes. I would recommend mm-hmm. that people read it.
Yeah.
In the study, Moral Consequences of Becoming Unemployed, endorsed by the prestigious scientific journal PNAS, researchers at UPV, at UPV, EHU's Faculty of Economics and Business and at the University of Nottingham, UK, have analyzed a moral consequence of unemployment that, together with the effects it has on people's mental health, could explain why these people become disengaged from the labor market. 151 young adults in Cordoba and Bilbao were involved in the study. The authors of the study, Luis Miller, lecturer at UPV EHU's Faculty of Economics and Business, and Paloma Ubeda, a UPV EHU researcher, highlight the importance of
understanding. A lot of acronyms like tossed around here.
Yeah. Highlight the importance of understanding how becoming unemployed affects people's behavior. Many studies link unemployment and poverty with depression, anxiety, stress, low levels of well-being and self-esteem, high suicide rates, murder, alcohol-related deaths, etc. In the study, however, the researchers have looked at a different kind of effect and have concluded that unemployment changes people's morals around the distribution of money. Mm-hmm. It should be pointed out that the study has been published in the latest edition of PNAS, a prestigious scientific journal.
Sorry.
What in the happy Halloween is the matter with you two? My God. A prestigious scientific journal.
I have the sense of humor of a 17-year-old boy. I'm sorry.
Well, we have a 17-year-old boy on the show, and he's not even giggling that much. A prestigious scientific journal which published... He looks 12. Well, actually, I've seen the pictures with that long hair. I have to say, if I had a son, he would look like Nick Hazelton.
Probably.
So anyway, the Giggle magazine is a prestigious scientific journal which publishes relatively few papers from the social sciences, but which has given particular importance to this one. And it's really interesting when you start looking at the impact of depression, anxiety, and stress, and low levels of well-being and self-esteem. When a person
from being
loses
like
their
jobless
job,
and poor,
yeah, yeah. Hmm. Why, even not necessarily poor. If you lose your job, like let's say you get laid off, maybe you work for a small company and they cut out two people. What you have to ask is, why were you one of the two people that was cut out? If there was maybe,
good question.
If there was only 50 people there, so what happens is the wheels in the brain start turning, and you start thinking, "Well, was I a bad worker? Was I not liked? What was it? Why was I the one that got cut out of here?" And that has a tendency to wear on people. And when you're in a situation like that, because if you go from having a decent job, making good money, and then you're reduced to living off of the scraps that come from unemployment, which isn't a whole lot. Here. In Michigan, I think it tops out at $750 every 2 weeks, or just under $800.
Hmm. Wow.
So that's for 2 weeks, and that's without taxes taken out.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, that's without theft taken out.
Yeah.
So how do you live off of $1,500 to $1,600 a month? I know you live in a shoebox essentially.
Right.
So when you're looking at that, and if you don't have money saved up, that's kind of a scary thought.
Mm-hmm.
You're wondering how you're going to pay your bills, how you're going to make ends meet.
Because
that $1,500 in many cases is just enough to pay a mortgage and maybe a couple of utilities.
Maybe.
Yeah, and frequently it's not enough to live off of.
Right.
So, yeah, there will be a naturally occurring anxiety and stress there, but also with the wheels turning of why was I the one that got fired or whatever. And then as far as like the drug and alcohol abuse, a lot of times in these cases when you match that in with depression, the idle hands become the devil's playground.
Mm-hmm.
So as Louise Miller asserts, in general, both people in employment and those in full-time education believe that people should be allowed to keep most of what they earn, and that it's okay for those who work harder or who are more productive to earn more, he went on to say. When people become unemployed, our study indicates that they let go of this belief. They put a higher value on the redistribution of money, which in social terms would mean higher taxes on those earning more in order to fund increased public spending. So that kind of goes back to our previous article and discussion of with the millennials. They love socialism until they're the ones that have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, thoughts?
Yeah, so what I think is interesting is a lot of these people who advocate for a welfare state or redistribution of wealth, they're claiming this compassionate angle. But it's interesting to see these studies point out that once these same people start actually making money and having it taken away and being redistributed, that's the word.
That's a hard word to say.
It feels like a hard word to say.
The word.
That's right, the R word.
That's why it's hard to say.
Yeah. So I find it interesting that now all of a sudden they want to keep their money.
Well,
so it makes it. I think it's interesting that they complain. They push this so-called compassionate angle. How they're trying to help people, but once they're the ones having to participate in helping out, they don't really sound like they want to do much. You'll find is that even when people are making enough money, right, that they contribute a lot more than the same people who are crying for socialism. I guarantee you that the greedy capitalists donate more to private charity and
absolutely.
Even give more to the government still yeah. than
well they don't give they socialists. Have it stolen from them obviously but you know what makes
That's
me
right.
What I wonder what happens is like you know you mentioned the compassionate angle so what do they become less compassionate, you know, once they start making money? Is that, I mean, I don't think that's the case. I mean, I definitely agree with what you say that by far, you know, the people who the, you know, the greedy capitalists are the ones that are actually, you know, contributing the most to charity, despite having a huge amount of their income, you know, stolen from them, you know, they still contribute more to charity. And, you know, it's really frustrating when I think that when I think about the money that's basically stolen from us, I mean that's the bottom line. It's stolen from us, and it's spent on what the you know our so-called representatives deem you know the appropriate place to spend these things. You know what would happen is you know if folks were able to keep most of their income or all of their income. You know, how much more would be donated to charity? You know how much more efficient would you know things operate? You know,
would so much charity be necessary if government wasn't impoverishing them with the 50-75% tax rate that the average person pays?
That's another excellent point. Yeah.
In other words, if you didn't have the money stolen from you by government, would you need government to bail you out?
Right.
Nope.
So it's kind of like a self-licking ice cream cone there.
Yeah. That's how government ensures its own existence. You know, it's an extremely inefficient, expensive, you know, dishonest middleman.
So anyway, here's an argument that I presented earlier. Oh, and by the way, in regards to the charity, somebody tried to give me the nonsense of he's, you know, lower to middle income, and he says that he gives a greater percentage of his income to charity than the wealthy do. Well, his. Okay, great. His maybe thousand or a couple thousand a year absolutely positively pales in comparison to the millions of dollars that a rich person will give to charity. So, yeah, it's a higher percentage, but it's absolutely meaningless. So, anyway. Here's a thought that I put out, and somebody had suggested this earlier, and I put this to some actual socialists, some people that are proud, card-carrying socialists. If equality is the goal, if socialism is the goal, if raising the standards of the poorest is the goal, is there an actual border when it comes to socialism? Meaning, are these wealthy Americans, because the poor people in America are pretty much in the 1% of the world. The actual poor people in America, back when I was, you know, at my lowest levels, I was still in or close to the 1% of the world.
Yeah.
Are these people willing to redistribute what they have in order to raise up the poor around the world? And we'll be right back after this trip to the market.
Meow.
And the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
That was me yawning.
Sorry. You're yawning me out.
Yeah. I shouldn't be as tired as Lou.
No, you shouldn't.
No, I know.
So anyway,
did you get a cat nap? What do you call those? Katzenappen, yeah.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about German is you can make up words, and most people, to include Germans, wouldn't even know the difference. But anyway, so...
Fiend phone.
Oh, God, it's him again. So anyway...
Why have a radio show if you can't interrupt it? I mean, that's why I got into this business.
I knew I should have gone into the server and changed the password. Hi, Michael. Yeah, welcome back.
I can go in there and override the password and lock you out. Want to see me do it? I'll do it right now.
I welcome my robot overlords.
Because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's already happening.
Have you talked about that yet?
Getting ready.
No, we're about to before you interrupted.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Fight for 15. Fight for 50 while you're at it. Why not? You know?
Yeah, may as well. Why not? 50.
I saw a meme the other day that showed some construction worker up on a beam, and it said, risk your life for $16.75 an hour or make $15 an hour effing up my hamburger.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, I do want to go back to the little experiment that I put out there. So if socialism is this great ideal, why would there be borders with socialism? Why wouldn't these people who talk about the evils of the white man and the patriarchy and the plight of the third world, particularly the noble working class of Cuba that is just suffering under the embargo of the U.S. and, well, actually suffering under Castro and communist rule. But anyway... why wouldn't they want to redistribute their wealth? And they don't, because they don't care about these poor people that they use as an example all the time. And ultimately, what they want is, and they're a bunch of greedy parasites, and they want the wealth of these other people redistributed to them. They're not willing to put up or shut up, because if they redistributed their wealth to the poorest of the poor, they'd be broke too.
Yeah, the people that want socialism, like you said, are either, you know, people who've never worked a day in their life, and then once they get a job, they go, wait, I don't want to give this to everybody. But you know who else is often socialist is hipsters who are multi millionaires. Like the Red Hot Chili Peppers are stumping for Bernie. And I'm like, that's only because they've got millions hidden in offshore accounts, and no matter how much Bernie would take, they'll never be broke. You know, also, math, you know, musicians aren't very good at math. They can count to four, but not any higher. So they tend to be socialist.
So they can't do simple math in their head. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
So anyway, going back to the welcoming of our robot overlords, a recent article here in the Washington Post, minimum wage. Offensive could speed arrival of robot powered restaurants.
Yay!
Yeah. Why have you seen some of the people working the counters? Man. Robots might be an improvement.
Well, you know, kind of one of the things I think is interesting is that they're stumping for the $15 an hour for, you know, people who work at McDonald's, where when you go to a restaurant, you know, an actual sit down restaurant. I mean, I think that the actual federal wage that people earn is still $2.13 an hour, which that was the case back when I worked in restaurants like 20 years ago.
I'd be fine with robots replacing the waiters in nice restaurants. I always feel like all waiters do anywhere is bother you. Like literally, if there were just a machine to bring me everything the minute I wanted it, it would be a lot more pleasant than having someone pleasantly coming around occasionally and going, "Would you like anything, sir? May I help you, sir?" No, just give me a robot that brings me it quicker.
What kind of restaurants do you go to where they talk like that?
One's in my mind.
Yeah, Mr. Burns, what restaurant are you going to?
I'll take the sautéed baby, please. The sautéed minority baby. Hey, I'm a black man. I can make those jokes.
Oh my gosh, you got those results back. I still have not sent mine in. I need to do that.
Took me 10 weeks. I'm running by the CIA first.
Yeah. I'm wondering where I got my rhythm.
They had to clone me so they could torture me.
I'm a white girl with great rhythm, so I had to come from
white girl with a nuclear butt that would make a black girl jealous.
I can't believe you're part black, Michael, because if you were any whiter, you'd be transparent.
It's where you can't see. That's where I'm black.
Yeah, you're...